Ooh, I am the worst person for this. I need to set a schedule. Hi, it's Ray. Welcome to Top Rope Horror. Hey, I got some horror stuff. Right? You will click on it expecting a little bit of everything, and then this guy just rambles about absolutely nothing. So we got I just saw a trailer for the Evil Dead game. Looks pretty good. Not entirely sure. Like, I was kind of like, I was like paying attention, but not paying attention. Like, I was just more like entranced by the visuals, and you either play as like Ash and a couple of the characters from like the TV show and the Army of Darkness, and then or you can play as the Deadites, and you seem to be like collecting stuff. It looks pretty cool. Graphically, it looks nice. I mean, it's not the best, you know, not the greatest looking thing in the world, but it's nice. You know, so that's pretty exciting. Yeah, a lot of shit happened last time I talked. Was it June 1st was the last one I had, and I think like a few days prior is pretty much when everything just hit the fan over at WWE when, let's see, Aleister Black got cut, Braun Strowman got cut, which was a huge fucking, like, what? Lana, Santana Garrett, Ruby Riott, like, all these people just got cut. Aleister Black broke my heart. I think my last... I don't usually like to listen to my old podcast because it's just kind of like, I just hate the sound of my voice. The Aleister Black one hurt. I mean, the dude's very positive. He's keeping it in perspective. He's not bitter. While most people are like, oh, fuck it, fuck that. He should be bitter as hell, blah, blah, blah. No, he's a good dude. And there's rumors that... He even said himself on Renee's podcast that he was saying that a lot of the higher-ups, they're like, why him? You know, that just, it made no sense. You know, I guess, because the Braun one, that was a shock, because I expected him to be a lifer, but it kind of made sense from the financial standpoint, because apparently he had, like, a very large contract. Like, he was getting, like, over $1 million a year, at least $1 million a year, on top of, like, you know, the bonuses and... I'm sure merchandise sales, etc., etc. So that was kind of like a bloated contract they needed to cut out. But the argument too is, why are they doing all these cuts? There's rumors that they're going to sell, that they're trimming the fat, so to speak, to have a nice lean product and just, you know, to sell it at like a good value. I mean, they already lost the network, not lost the network, but they sold the network to Peacock, which. I'll be honest, ever since I made the jump, the only reason I hop on Peacock is really to watch the pay-per-views. I used to watch the network all the time because the interface was amazing. It was really cool. I use the Roku player mostly, but I know, like, if you use, like, through the website or whatever, I don't know about other streaming services, but I knew if you were able to do it on the website, you're able to just skip to matches, and that was just beautiful. That was awesome. And, like, search by wrestler and stuff on the Peacock one. Last I looked, you couldn't really do any of that kind of stuff. So, yeah, like I said, I just use it for the pay-per-views. I don't really go out of my way to jump on or watch anything on it. I mean, not really. Their loss, they're still getting money out of me, but whatever. You know, they're cutting down on a lot of the departments. It seems a lot of in their media department, like their film department, seems to be getting cut down a lot. A lot of higher, you know, directors and stuff are getting shifted around. It's people are like, some are saying, oh, it's not, they're not going to sell, but then some are saying, it's what is the reasoning? Because they're having, supposedly from their quarterly earnings, they're having record numbers, best numbers in years, which is mind boggling to me, considering like wrestling isn't as popular as it once was. But I guess since because of the pandemic, you know, they cut down on travel expenses, they cut down on, you know, house show, you know, the expenses of doing all those. You know, so they're not putting out as more money than they need to with, like, you know, paying the road crews and all that, which, you know, sucks for those guys immensely, especially if, like, you know, they're not, like, I don't know how they're, like I said, I don't know how any of their stuff works. So I don't know if, like, if those guys are just laid off, or they're just sitting home, or they're working part of the Thunderdome thing, or they're doing other things, or whatever. But I'm assuming that it's kind of like the wrestlers who aren't being used, they're kind of just sitting catering, or they just sit at home and just collect a paycheck. You know, it just seems like they're just, I don't know. They're saying, oh, we're record numbers, you know, they're best, you know, most profitable years they've had, like in the company's history. You would think that they would share the wealth a little bit. You're like, hey, you know, we're giving you guys a bump, you know, like especially for the wrestlers that are kind of doing nothing. They're kind of like, hey, man, let's just give you here's a little pay raise. Or ones who do really good, if they say they have like a really great match, or they had a great, like on their ratings are really good or whatever, they'd be like, oh yeah, here's a little bump to pay, like a little incentive. But no, they're like, nah, we're just going to cut you. Makes no sense to me. But again, I'm not in business. I'm just some jackass that just rambles to two or three people who listen to this thing. So who the hell am I, you know? But the Aleister Black cut was, that hurt. You know, because he was just literally starting a feud with Big E. He came back after months of being away, I think like since October, right before Zelina Vega, his wife, got cut. And there's rumors that she had returned, or she was making a return, like she was shown at the Performance Center for a documentary or something. That was a rumor. And then a few weeks later, her husband gets cut. I don't get it. Like, he came back, kicked Big E's head off, and they weren't on for another week. And so I heard that they were letting the feud simmer, so to speak. But, you know, that either that could have been a bullshit excuse, or legit, they were ready to go forward with the feud. And then, was it that went? Like, the Wednesday after, that's when he got cut. You know, and that's, now you're kind of like, what the hell? Like, they just repackaged him into this, what do they call him, the Dark Father, or whatever they're going to call him. Like, you know, they repackaged him into this, like, badass dude, and then all of a sudden he's just cut. It's like, what? You know, but like I said, he's very humble about it, very cool. You know, he has no ill will. You know, he did admit that he was a little frustrated at points, like how he had a start and stop type thing on the main roster, so to speak. I hate saying main roster, so so to speak. NXT, he was great. You know, then I was listening to Renee's podcast, Oral Sessions, and he was just saying that what put him on the map, so to speak, was his match with Velveteen Dream, who's also cut. And I won't get into that one. And he said from then on in, it was like Vince was always telling Hunter that he's like, I want that guy. And Hunter's just like, hang on, I got plans for him, blah, blah, blah. And he kept saying, I want that guy. And they finally get him, and then we all saw it happen. And he even was saying, he's just like, I was confused for a while. He's like, you know, one day I'm on TV doing this, that, and the third, and the next thing you know, I'm not being used, and the next thing you know, the next time you see me, I'm on that Raw Underground thing. It's like, what is going on? But there's rumors that he's heavily rumored that he will sign to AEW, which would make total sense. I mean, he'd be phenomenal there. I mean, he'd take, and because he's part of that group in a way. Like, if you watch some of the older PWG matches, he has worked with, like, the Bucks and all those guys. Like, he knows he can accustom himself to that style. Like, there's no qualms about it. He knows how to work that style, and he's a perfect fit for that company. But there's also rumors that, you know, WWE might just be like, well, we're fucked up. Here's a contract. You know, we'll re-sign you, which, you know, has happened in the past. When what's his face, Drake Maverick got cut, and then he got, like, quote-unquote re-signed. I don't know if that was an actual legit cut, or that was a storyline thing. It seemed like it was a legit thing, but the outpouring of support for him, and how he went on I think it was Instagram or Facebook or whatever, crying. And then he kind of, but he still had a quote-unquote few days to fill out with NXT, and then I think they turned to a storyline where he, like, kept his job or whatever. So I don't know if that was an illegitimate cut, or that was just them, like, playing into it, trying to churn up the waters a bit to see if, like, he's, like, you know, a name, so to speak. And now the dude's, you know, he's still on NXT, but he's not doing as much. But, you know, so I don't know if he's going to come back. I'd like to see him back, but I would love to see him in AEW, because I know they would use him properly. And same thing with Rusev, you know, formerly known as Rusev, now Miro. He's, dude, like, where was that guy? And it's on him. I'm not putting the blame on him whatsoever, but Holy shit. They, WWE fucked up hard on that one. 100%. Like, the promos he cuts, what he says is just, you know, you get goosebumps listening to the dude, because he's, that's how he should have been booked. Like, I know he was kind of booked as, like, that, you know, the badass, but he had Lana speak for him. They should have just let that dude speak. Let him speak from the heart. Let him be himself. Like, if you follow the man on social media, he is entertaining. Usually he's very funny, but the dude is entertaining. He can, like I said, he can cut a promo. He can be hysterical. I think one of the first times I was like, oh, this dude's funny, was when he, Lana was, taping him mowing the lawn in a Speedo, and she's like yelling at him. She goes, well, you could close on. He's like, no. And he's just like doing the thing in a Speedo. And that was funny. You know, I thought that was funny. Like, I was like, all right, that dude's got a personality. But, like, you know, it was crazy how he started when he first signed to AEW as just like, oh, this best man thing. He's just this gamer. He's just this and the third. He's not, like, he was kind of floundering. Everyone's like, oh, great, here we go. He's being misused once again. But all of a sudden, they pulled the trigger on him, and boom, he took off. He took that ball, and he fucking kicked down the goddamn door. But that's what I'm saying. Like, maybe Aleister Black or Tommy N now can be even bigger. You know, like, he had so many little nuances to his promos and stuff that I didn't even realize when he would discuss them. Like, he says, like, everything on his patches on his vest, they're references to his opponents, or they're references to something. When he was doing the promos in a room with the lighting, everything was there for a reason. It wasn't just arbitrary things to make it look cool. He's very precise, and he's very cerebral about what he's doing. And I never really realized that until he pointed it out. I'm like, holy shit, now that all makes sense. You know, I thought he was just like, oh, that guy's just got a cool ass vest. No, it's everything had a reason. So maybe he's able to expand that more. I know he said that it was kind of good in a way that he was kind of didn't have full freedom, because then he had to be creative with what he was given. But I don't know, him with more of like a, not creative control, because I know AEW doesn't do the creative control thing too much, but more creative freedom, I would say, to allow him to expand on his character, like, he's gonna be huge. And then I found out that he, when AJ and Undertaker had fought WrestleMania, that he was supposed to be involved in that feud. I'm like, holy shit, that would have fucking helped him so much. You know, because me and my friend would always talk about how we wanted to see Aleister take on The Undertaker, or even just be like a disciple to him, or even start like his own kind of like Ministry of Darkness type deal. Like, he is like, you know, he's, I know he's a lot shorter than The Undertaker, but he is like, he has that presence about him where he could be that guy, you know. But maybe in AEW that can happen, or maybe if WWE re-signs him, you know, they'll be like, all right, let's roll with what you have more. And then I heard a rumor that Samoa Joe might be coming back to NXT. Again, very highly speculative. They said that he was seen at the Performance Center for unknown reasons. He's been very quiet on social media, so he's another one that they cut. And we're just like, what the hell? Like, he was at WrestleMania, then like 2 days later, he was cut. He was signed off as on active roster instead of announcer, because they had signed that Verk, I think his name was, the guy who didn't last too long. Like, the day after Mania, they pretty much announced him as the announcer, and then Samoa Joe got lost in the shuffle, and then he was cut. I know they had issues clearing Joe, because he was kind of injury-prone on the quote-unquote main roster, which, you know, now it's, you know, I know things are opening up more, but I know they're going to be cutting back on their schedules a lot, so maybe he won't be destroying his body as much. And NXT, he was awesome. And Impact, he was awesome. Samoa Joe's career was awesome. And especially in NXT, when he was champion and run the show for a little bit, he was great. But then he gets on the main, you know, he had a rabid following, you know, it was, I would say, more of a cult following, but it just, they never did anything with him. Like, he came in strong, and then it would just be like, meh. Like, one of the best segments was, oh, I can't, don't quote me on the time or year, I think it was around SummerSlam, or around those pay-per-views, where it was like a four-way or something, against Brock Lesnar, and I think Roman was in there. I know Joe was in it, maybe Strowman, and they're all like, that was when Brock had the title, and they we're all had like an in-ring promo, and all of a sudden Joe just comes out of fucking nowhere and just runs everybody down. It was awesome, and he gets right in Brock Lesnar's face. It was awesome. Like, that's the dude you wanted to see, and that's the dude I wanted to see win. But, you know, whatever, he didn't win, obviously. But maybe he had the one-on-one with Brock. I don't remember. I just remember, like, his promo was just intense and awesome because he just got right in his face, and you're, and he didn't back down. And, like, I know they're all in character and shit, but, like, you, for, like, that moment, you were like, holy shit, he's going to fucking knock him out. He's going to knock Brock Lesnar on his ass, or at least attempt to. Like, he didn't, he had showed no fear, and that was awesome. Like, because usually when some people are talking, like, I remember, I think it was Roman, before, you know, he had this head of the table when he was still trying to be a face. And you know, the dude wasn't comfortable with it. He was talking, and he was trying to cut a promo, and then he was, like, stumbling on his words and trying to say Brock Lesnar. He kept, like, stuttering on the words and stuff and stumbling a little bit because he was trying to be, like, kind of like, ah, shucks type of person. And he didn't believe him. You know, nowadays you would, because he's being more himself. Not that I'm saying the dude's a dick, but I'm saying he's able to be, he's able to tap into that character. And I was telling my friend the other day that a character like Roman wouldn't have worked a couple of, the Roman now, head of the table, wouldn't have worked a few years ago, like when he beat The Undertaker. Like, if he immediately turned to that character, it wouldn't have worked. Yeah, he was booed heavily, and then at the Monday night after, and he got on the mic, tapped in, just says, my yard now, and dropped the mic and walked away. But if he went full-on head of the table, it wouldn't have worked, I don't think, because he had to, it had to fester more, that hate that the fans had on against him. It had to fester a little bit more, and then when he was away with the cancer, and then when he came back, and then he was gone again, because I know he had, his wife had newborns, have COVID and stuff. The dude, you know, he had a lot of legitimate gripes and anger built up, so then it made sense to pull the trigger when he came back. You know, the time away, you know, give him that cool down period, then he came back, and now we got probably one of the best runs and I've seen in a long time. But back to Tommy and Master Black. You know, like I said, like, I was big on him before he got signed. Like, I've seen some of the clips of him, and I was like, this dude's awesome. You know, I'm very excited about this guy. And I saw an article that he could have been the new, like, CM Punk type character. Not like how Punk was, like, on the mic or anything, but just that guy who connects to the audience and who, you know, he's not, he looks like, you know, he has that presence about him, he still looks like a regular dude, you know, a badass dude, but he still looks like a regular dude that you would see, like, anywhere. You know, he's just, I know he's not that tall, I think he might be 6 foot, you know, and he's, you know, got the tattoos and all, but he's not, but he dresses nice. You know, when you see him outside of the ring, he always wears, like, you know, obviously always black, but he always wears, like, nice suits, but he doesn't go overboard with it. He just looks like a dude that you would be friends with type of deal, you know? Or it's just somebody that you know. Like, you see, or you would see him in a store, you would see him, like, I don't see him much of a biker, but it's just, like, but you get what I'm saying? Like, he just seems like a guy that you could connect to. Like, he seems relatable, even though he does go into, like, the occult and that kind of thing, but everybody has, like interests like that. Like, me, I'm into heavily into true crime and the occult, so I get that part, but, you know, the dude just had that part of him that he could have been, like the article said, he could have been CM Punk, you know, just didn't look like the prototype of what Vince McMahon wants, but has that it factor where he could have been huge, and we saw it happen. At NXT, he was great, you know, he was burning it up on there, but then, you know, you get to the main roster, I know Triple H was saying, well, you know, it's kind of like, he was saying this the other day, he's like, essentially, like, some people either they make it or they don't. I'm like, come on, dude, you know, you're full of shit. I know you're just saying that, because right off the bat, he's like, well, do I think people are being misused? Oh, that's a funny question. I'm like, yeah, you know they are. He has to be frustrated that he's building up these people. Like, I saw the clip of him when Balor was still in NXT and how he's doing the crawl. You know, when he's the demon, when he's doing the crawl down the ramps. Triple H is on helping him, showing him how to do it. you know, he's building this character, this persona for him, and I know he's very hands-on with everything, so you can't tell me that the dude is just kind of like, well, you know, we give them the opportunity when they're on the main, if they don't make it, they don't make it, that's, you know, it happens. I don't want to hear that shit. It's got to hurt him, seeing him build up these people, be like fucking white hot, and then just be doused with fucking ice water as soon as they get onto the main roster. You know, like, God, I think the last group that really actually made some kind of impact of some description was, you know, Balor. He could have been one of the top guys, but it's unfortunate that injury when he, with the Universal title, that's what hurt him a lot, but then he never really properly recovered from that. But they never gave him the chance to properly recover from that. He was kind of just stuck in, like, mid-cards from then on in when he came back. But Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are really, like, other than Drew McIntyre, because Drew McIntyre's already, he was already signed by the company prior, and he was already a part of that system. But I'm saying, like, guys that they just get off the indie circuit and then kick into the main roster, I would say it would be, like, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn were really the last ones who were able to survive that. You know, as far as, like, NXT champions go, like, you know, for winning the major title. I'm trying to think. Yeah, like, a lot of their tag teams got cut. AOP got, they were fucking awesome on NXT. They, injury prone, they fucking cut the guys while they're injured. That was another rumor that they were, like, retiring, and then they're, like, they both of them put out a tweet saying, now we're not done yet, bitches, quote unquote. The Ascension was another one. They were awesome on NXT, and then they kind of went nowhere. Yeah, I'm trying to, because I don't have a computer in front of me. I'm racking my brain. There's not really a lot of people that made it off NXT into the, and other than, you know, quote unquote, the Four Horsewomen. But I'm talking about the last couple of years, not the last, like, five plus years. I'm talking, like, that last class, I would say, that class of NXT people, you know, Owens, Zayn, the Four Horsewomen, you know, Flair, Sasha, Becky and Bayley, you know, Balor, Asuka, is hit or miss, I love her to death, but, you know, now she's doing, now she looks like, because they cut Ruby, they cut Lana, that's two tag teams already cut, very destroyed for the women's division. Why have women tag titles at this point? But now it seems she's tagging with Nikki Cross, which is whatever. Which is unfortunate, because she ran, like, she was awesome during when we were in full lockdown. She was running that ship, that women's division, in like Becky's absence, all that. She was running that shit hard. And then, you know, then I don't know, then they kind of just dropped the ball on her again. They seem to do that a lot. And like, the last proper, like, match or feud she had was, like, October. And all of her other matches since then were just kind of, like, not her fault. They were just, like, they just didn't really end well. They were ended DQ or just whatever. They were just tag matches. They weren't proper matches. And then when they started incorporating the Alexa Bliss nonsense into it, you know, like, she was, like, scurrying away afraid of her. It's like, why? That's the other thing we're going into. But it's like, you're coming from the most dominant, like, champion of all time off NXT. Nobody's touched her record. Like, Io was close. Very close. That's another one they took the title off too soon. Most dominant women, like, women's champion of all, like, essentially of all time. I'm going to say of all time. I'm just NXT of all time. I don't give a shit. Like, you don't have to have 15 different reigns to say that you're a great champion. That means you lost 14 different times. If you have one reign and you ran that shit for, like, over a year, that says more to me than losing it 14 times. That's just me. But if you have, like, one title and you had it for a hell of a long time, that says a lot more to me. You know, that means you were a fighting champion. That means you just didn't lose it. You know, you didn't lose it, you got it, lose it, lose it, whatever. But like I said, I don't know. Like, these roster cuts, back to this roster cut thing. Roster cut thing, I don't understand it. I don't know what their end game is. All they're essentially doing is just giving AEW, Impact, you know, Ring of Honor, all these guys, they're just giving them more people. That's it. If anything, it just seems like, how like the Brian Pillman thing went, how they cut, how he quit, quote unquote quit WCW to raise his stock to get rehired at a higher rate. At least that's the story Eric Bischoff told. Some people say he was full of shit. I don't know. But some say that Pillman was playing him the whole time, and Bischoff's like, no, if you watch the Dark Side of the Ring episode, he was like, no, we planned this the whole time, and it was just unfortunate circumstances of what had happened to Brian afterwards, how he, like, had the, I think it was the ankle injury, and before he was even signed, like, that stopped his momentum cold, but he was still, like, a hot prospect, but I don't know if that's, like, kind of, like, a weird game plan thing. They're like, all right, we're going to cut you, but, you know, go out there, do your thing, come back better, and then we'll resign you. Kind of like Drew McIntyre, same story. You know, he got let go, and he wasn't in the best shape, and he was very open about it, how I think he fell into a bad spot. Same thing with Jinder. Especially Jinder, like, he fell into a bad spot. He was drinking a lot, and then he started getting in shape, and then he had, like, he ran with the title, which everybody, it's funny, people shit on that title run, but you know what? People are watching him. I mean, it's a fact. People were watching his title run. You know, it was one of those title runs where it's like you wanted to see him lose. You know, it's not like you turn on the TV and you see somebody you don't want. You know, you see him have the title. You're like, why do you have the title? Like, I'm not watching this guy. And you turn it off. He had that title. You wanted to see him. You wanted to see him lose his ass. So that's, I think that's the issue now with the Bobby Lashley feud. You know, I like Bobby Lashley. I always have, but he just, it's, I don't know how many times he's going to fight Drew. The fact that they had to put a stipulation in that if Drew loses at Hell in a Cell, that he cannot challenge Bobby for the title anymore. I mean, that just, I don't know. Like, Drew's run was cool, but it started to get very vanilla towards the end, and he's just vanilla now. Like, you know, you go from the Scottish psychopath to just, like, almost a caricature of that. You know, I get it. He's trying to, they're trying to portray him as a clean cut good guy and shit, but it's like, that only goes so far. You can only have so many John Cenas, you know? Like, John Cena will always be able to tap into that. He's just naturally that gifted in that sense. Like, he's able to be that guy, and he's able to just be just as big as a dick in the next breath. Like, he's got that all around package, and it's very hard to find. Several legends have gone to say, I think Triple H or even Stone Cold, one of the two, have gone on to say that they'll never have another one like John Cena, and I 100% agree. Just like Hogan, as much as he's problematic, at that time, growing up in the 80s, for people who never experienced it, that dude was the shit. You know? Like, he was the fucking guy. Even if you weren't a wrestling fan, you just knew who Hulk Hogan was. Either you saw him in Rocky or whatever. You knew who he was. You know, he just had that presence about him. He still kind of does in that way. Like I said, I know he's had his issues and stuff, but that childhood part of me is just like, oh man, there's Hulk. But then I look at him like, there's Hulk, that fucking racist. But, you know, it's like he was like that fucking dude. You know, like I said, he was just, he transcended. I know, like, Vince doesn't like when people get bigger than business, but Hogan was bigger than the business, and he knew it. And he got to a point where it's like, you didn't even know, like, who he fought or wrestled. You just know that he was Hulk Hogan, you know, and that was it. That's all you needed to know. Same thing with John Cena. And the dude's done so much for charities and the Make-A-Wish. He's done so much and gave back so much. And you just won't find a dude like that. And it's very hard to keep, like, striking that iron when it's hot type of deal. Like, when you get a character and he's hot, and you try to strike it to make it, to, like, you know, start that fire, so to speak, it's very hard to get that. You know, like, with Drew, they're working hard on him, and, like, he kind of, you know, he did a lot because he was stuck in the pandemic. You know, he won the title in a closed-off set, and that was like, a really shitty moment for him, but, you know, he did well, and then it just started getting boring. I don't know. Same thing with Lashley. It's just not there. But then again, Raw is just an utter shit show anyway. I mean, you have Bazzler and being afraid of a sock puppet. A legit MMA badass who does have a background in the occult herself, like Alistair, Tommy. being afraid of a sock puppet. I just don't jive with that. I can't take it seriously. You know, like, I don't know what they're trying to do. I don't know what they're trying to, what, where Raw's going. Like, a SmackDown doesn't have this goofy, like, spooky shit going on, but on Raw it does. And it's like, where are they going with this? I don't understand it. Maybe I'm an idiot, but it's like, you know, growing up, it's like growing up and watching wrestling. You know, you had your goofy characters, and you had your, like, supernatural characters. You had your Papa Shango's. You had your, you know, Jake the Snake to a degree with when he was, same thing around that time when he was fucking with the Warrior and Macho Man when he was a heel. You know, you had all these characters, that, and then Undertaker, obviously, who had quote-unquote power, which is goofy as shit, but the dude made it work. You know, looking back on it, it was goofy. You know, you had Paul Bearer, who, I love the man to death, may rest his soul, but it was fucking goofy. But that was the time period, you know? It was the late 80s, early 90s, that was it. And WWE, or WWF at the time, suffered for it towards the middle of the 90s, when everybody was just, like, shifting away from that after... I would say, like, how do I put it? Like, that excessive 80s, you know, that glammy, like, look of the 80s and, like, just, like, the flamboyancy of it was dying out hard. And then you got into the grungy era of the 90s and more dirty. Like, just say dirty. It was grungy and dirty. That's what people wanted. They shunned the colors and they wanted the darkness, essentially. And that's when... you know, ECW was able to explode, and that's when WCW was kicking their WWF's ass in the ratings, because they're doing more reality type of stuff, they're doing more realistic type of characters. They weren't doing, they had their goofy shit, but they weren't focusing on it, like, you'd have, like, Doink the Clown running around or anything of that nature. It just seems like they're gearing towards that again, like, having, like, goofy shit, but it's just not working, especially in this day and age. It's kind of like, I get it. A lot of wrestling fans, like, they're like, oh, I haven't watched wrestling since I was a kid. That's a very common thing I get when I talk to people about wrestling. I'm like, oh, I'm a huge wrestling fan. Like, yeah, I haven't watched it since I was a kid. It makes me feel, like, childish. And in a way, it is child. Like, I guess it is childish in a way. It's just like watching... you're watching two grown adults do choreographed moves with a predetermined match. But it's a storyline. So it's. But then again, you can still say the same for a movie or a TV show. Two grown-ass adults fighting, choreographed fighting with a predetermined result, which is the end of the show or the movie. What difference? Where's the difference? I think a part of it, too, is because wrestling has always had that close-guarded, like, gatekeeping. You know, like, it was like the secret society that outsiders weren't allowed to be a part of. I think I've talked about this before. If they had made it more easily accessible, kind of like the way it is with TV shows and such, maybe the stigma will get shaken off a bit. But at this point, it still has that stigma of, like, that's scripted, right? Oh, yeah, but so is your favorite TV show. Yeah, but it's a sport. It's not a legitimate sport. No, it very much is a legitimate sport, and any athlete who has gone into WWE will say right away that's the hardest thing they've ever done in their entire life. But I think it's because a lot of times they try to play it off as a legitimate sport, like hockey or football. I think that's where the stigma is still attached. Like, what they should do is really just say, yes, this is hard. Yes, this is grueling. But it's also, you know, you're in on it. Everybody's in on it. Just enjoy it. But the problem is, though, is like when they write segments, like I said, the Alexa Bliss thing, where you can get to the point where it's kind of like insulting my intelligence as a fan, like, that's one of kind of like an issue. Like I said, I get it, they're characters, they're playing characters on TV, but I cannot take someone who is a legitimate MMA, breaking bones, punching people's faces in, is afraid of a sock puppet. Like, even in a movie, like, if you had a movie, like a Van Damme movie, you know, or any kind of Arnold movie, you know, just whatever. Let's just go, let's say Van Damme, because he's more, you can more consider like an MMA type person with kickboxer and shit. If he made a movie where, like, he faced off against like a voodoo priestess and the doll was just popping up anywhere, I don't think he'd be afraid. I think he'd be more like, what the fuck? You know? He'd be standing up to that. He wouldn't be like in fear of things or whatever. He would, you know, he get fucked with, But it, like, I don't think he'd be afraid of it, and that's what I think that's the issue I have. That Broken Earth is afraid. I think they should like gear the storyline that she just maybe. I think she did say she like it's just a stupid doll. Like, have her keep going with that, no matter what happens. Like, everyone's like, have like Nia Jax or whatever, just be like, yo, this is weird, blah blah blah. She's like, nah, it's, have her not believe until the end when they do have finally have a match, if they ever have a match, and then save it for like the more fantastical shit, you know. But the problem I have though is like, they keep Raw and SmackDown, so kind of like, I know they keep them separate shows, but they're part of the same umbrella, especially around Survivor Series, where they all start blending, and they want to push like a reality era type TV feel, then why do the goofy shit? You know, if you're pushing for reality based, you know, more grounded type thing, like, yeah, these guys are playing characters on TV, but they're also real people on the outside of this, you know, because of the social media thing, then keep it that way. Don't have one show be delve into like supernatural shit, and then you go into another show that totally doesn't acknowledge it. Essentially, there it's reality. I don't know. I could, like I said, I could go on and on, but hey, I did this one run. Good for me, huh? I'm getting better at this. So at this point, I bid you adieu. And like I said, I'm the worst person at this. I'll try to. I'm not gonna make promises. You'll hear from me when you hear from me. Thank you for listening. Stay safe.